Our next speaker is Lalit Rankot. He's going to talk about agroforestry and biodiversity benefits.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lalit from University of Missouri. Agroforestry and biodiversity. Here I'm going to talk about whether, and if so, how agroforest systems can improve or conserve biodiversity. We all know that biodiversity is the sum of all genetics, ecosystem and species diversity in the world where the life on Earth is consisted of. And it's the result of about 3.5 billion years of evolution. Despite of the benefits of and the time taken for this biodiversity development, it has been changing. The change is okay, but if it's reducing rapidly, then there's a problem. So this graph shows how the biodiversity or the mean species abundance has decreased or changed from 1700 to 2050. We can see that low productivity and even high into medium productivity mean species abundance has reduced with time. It represents almost all the biomes in the world, from polar regions to deserts to tropical rainforests to temperate rainforests. And we can see that in 2000, it has been the mean species abundance has been 73%, but it is projected to be reduced to 62% by 2050. We do everything for the well-being of human as well as the environment, but all these components, biodiversity, land use, land cover, are interrelated. So if we change one component, obviously the others also change automatically. This graph shows how the ecosystem service output changes when we move from natural ecosystems to urban ecosystems. And we know that in natural systems, the biodiversity is much higher, and in urban systems, it's lower. But when we move from natural systems to urban systems, the sum of the ecosystem service value also reduces drastically. One reason for this biodiversity reduction or the biodiversity degradation is domestication of crops from wild relative plants and moving towards more intensive and monocropping agriculture. But agricultural biodiversity is also very much important for world food security. Here we can see the mean species abundance by land use, and in agroforestry systems, the range of mean species abundance is much higher even compared to primary forests and secondary forests. So one farming system which produces food as well, right? So one farming system shows promising increase in biodiversity is agroforestry. So what is this agroforestry? Agroforestry is the intensive integration of crops, trees and animals, that means livestock, where the interactions are intentionally managed. These are five major basic agroforest systems practiced in temperate countries. The alley cropping, forest farming, windbreaks, silvopasture systems, and riparian buffers. And again, these are temperate agroforest systems, and these are tropical agroforest systems. This is a alley cropping system, home garden, and a kind of a forest farming. So, do these agroforest systems actually conserve or improve biodiversity? Let's take one example. This is riparian buffer, which you saw earlier also. And it has a 4-year-old riparian buffer. It has native grass, shrubs, and trees. So rather than having a continuous monocropping, continuous corn or soybean field, this has added lots of biota, that means lots of plant species into that particular cropping area. Rather than that, we might have more insect and animal species inside these plants as well. So does agroforest system increase biodiversity? There could be a yes, right? So agroforestry conserves biodiversity by providing habitat for species that can tolerate a certain level of disturbance, and they increase the biodiversity or conserve biodiversity by preserving germplasms of sensitive species, by reducing rates of conversion of natural habitat to monocropping and intensive agriculture systems, and creating connectivity corridors between natural habitats, and by providing other ecosystem services like erosion control, water recharge, and water quality improvements. agroforestry systems can improve and increase biodiversity by adding floral diversity as well as faunal diversity. So let's first see about the floral diversity, which is increased by agroforestry systems. In a home garden study conducted in Sri Lanka has shown that out of 289 species observed, 52% were ornamental plants, 36% were food plants, and 12% were medicinal plants. And out of that, 6% was produced in commercial income. So the rest, 94%, was used by the domestic usage. And more importantly, in tropical home gardens, the species richness varies from country to country and from place to place. In Sri Lanka, it's around 27, and it goes up to about 600 in West Java. So 600 species in home garden, that's a lot. That adds a lot to the biodiversity. And another study conducted in Bangladesh has shown that their home garden systems are about 30% similar to natural forest systems. And about 59% of those plants found in their home gardens are native species. And this shows the vertical stratification in a tropical home garden in northeastern India. We can see there are so many strata, there are so many tree layers in this home garden, just like in a tropical rainforest. So this adds a lot of biodiversity to a unit area in that system. But still this produces food, that means this is an agriculture system, but looks like a rainforest. And this is how the species composition or the number of main species change within that home garden system. They have fruits, timber, fencing, ornamental plants, to medicinal plants as well. This is another illustration of land use effects on plant species diversity. If we focus on the species richness, we can clearly see that the species richness range is much higher even compared to secondary forest. So that's a good thing. We produce some food, we do agriculture, but it has more species richness. So these agriculture systems, that means agroforest systems, can add something to the biodiversity. And that was about floral diversity. So let's see how these agroforest systems can add faunal diversity to the systems. It's a well-known fact that agroforestry systems can increase pollinator diversity, and it has been shown that a greater density of the diversity of insects populations can be found in windbreaks. And sometimes windbreaks and riparian buffers are the only woody habitat for birds and insects in those monocultural cropping lands. And this is a comparison between the soil biota in agroforestry and continuous cropping systems. The blue color bars represent the agroforestry system, and the orange color ones the monocropping system. We can see that the mean density of ants, termites, beetles, earthworms, millipedes, all of them are higher in agroforestry soils compared to monocropping soils. And if we look at the small organisms like mites and non-parasitic nematodes, even they are much higher in agroforestry ecosystem soils rather than in the monocropping soils. And this is an interesting study conducted in Indonesia. They have converted forest lands into cacao agroforestry systems. When they are converting those forests into cacao agroforestry systems, they have found that number of species in terrestrial herbs, bryophytes and canopeans and wasp has increased rather than they were in the natural forest system. So that's very interesting. And they say that when the shade cover reduces from 80% to 40%, even the land use intensity increases. And this is how the species levels of that cacao agroforest system looks like. About 31% of the trees, 42% of the herbs, and 75% of canopy ants, 46% of litter ants, and around 87% of wasps, which were found in the cacao agroforest system, were also found in the natural forest system. That means these agroforest systems very closely mimic natural systems. So it's very important, because natural ecosystems are the ones which are very much high in biodiversity. So if we can conserve and increase the biodiversity into a natural system level, so that's very beneficial. Because of that, agroforestry systems can play an important role in conserving the biodiversity as well as improving the present biodiversity by providing habitats for resources, for plants and animal species, and by maintaining landscape connectivity, that means connecting the natural landscapes, natural habitats with use of agroforestry buffer, and making landscape less harsh for forest dwelling species, and potentially decreasing the edge effect on remaining forest fragments. And some other studies have shown that some of the agroforestry systems, that means there are agroforestry systems like riparian buffers, home gardens, silver pasture, etc. So some of the agroforestry systems, especially like tropical home gardens, very closely mimic natural ecosystem. So then they really can reduce the biodiversity degradation and also can conserve the remaining biodiversity. So I can conclude that, I can say that there is already sufficient evidence that agroforestry systems offer more hope for conservation of plant and animal species. Because of that, we can use these agroforestry practices as a tool for improving as well as conserving the biodiversity. Thank you very much.
We have 5 minutes for questions. Any questions for Lalit?
Especially the tropical home gardens, because their tree stratification is very much higher compared to temperate system. Even in allotropin or similar partial systems, we use just one or two types of trees plus a crop. But in the tropical home garden systems, they grow, they do not systematically arrange the tree strips or crop strips. They just, it's kind of a mixed cropping system. Because of that, even in the same unit area, there are so many plants and trees. So, bigger trees grow bigger, and there's a middle level, even shrubs, and lower level cropping plants. Because of that, in a unit area, the number of plants as well as the insects and other biota are much higher in those systems. Because of that, they have found the biodiversity is much higher in tropical home garden systems. Temperate systems, it's not very much clear, because we can alter the management of the temperate system. I mean, if we are doing allotropin, we can use either one crop plus either one tree species plus a crop, or we can use two tree species and a crop. But for riparian buffers, as I showed earlier, we can use many species. So we can change the composition of temperate agroforestry systems. You mean for in the temperate regions? Not really, because basal regions, do you mean the specific area of the land? Not really, but when you are going for riparian buffers, yes, we have to cultivate the riparian buffer zone near to the stream, because the other area we have to use for crop cultivation, and with use of a riparian buffer we can reduce soil erosion, nutrient erosion, and as well those things as well. But if it goes to the home garden system, no, we don't have any restriction. Just the home is there, and anywhere the land space is available, we can practice these practices.
But windbreaks, when they are establishing, they specify certain spacing, selection of species.
There's no reason you couldn't add more story species in temperate systems,
which is still. Yeah, that's true.
Because of
the
management.
I mean, we could grow other species underneath
the kind of. Yeah, there's enough sunlight, there's enough space, yeah. We could add. Yes, we don't, yeah, that's true. But we should move into that, I guess.
Because another reason, when we were looking at some trees, root distribution of some trees in our green leaf study, we have found pinoak has the most better root distribution pattern, more vertical roots, higher percentage of vertical roots. Bur oak or some white oak has had more horizontal roots. That means they are getting into the crop area and competing for resources, nutrients, water and space. If you put pinoak, they had more vertical roots. They are not getting into the crop area. So there are desirable factors when you select trees for these buffers. Any more questions for Lalit? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.